you weren't playing, no.
Such a backhanded compliment. All right, we'll call this meeting to order. It's the Oceano Community Services District. Today is Wednesday, April 9th. It is 6:30 p.m. We have a regular scheduled meeting and then also a notice of a special meeting. We'll take a roll call at this time. Marie?
President Guerrero.
I'm present.
Vice President Lucy.
Present.
Director White.
Present.
Director Blackburn.
Present.
Director Angelo.
Here.
All right. If you join me in this flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll move on to item number 4 on the regular agenda, which is the agenda review. I don't have any changes or any other. There's not much on it tonight. Can you give us a vote, a roll call, please?
Who was the second?
Karen? Karen White.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. And Miss Lucy, your microphone's off. It's still off. There you go. The move on item number 5, public comment from... This will be on the main agenda, public comment on matters not on the agenda. Is there any public comment this evening on this agenda item? All right, seeing none, we'll go to public comment for the special meeting for matters not on the agenda. All right, seeing none, we'll close public comment for that as well. Item number, my proposal is we'll do the business item from the regular agenda, and then we'll take up the business item on the special agenda. Move on to special presentations. There are none. Reports. I don't see either Commander Jay Donovan or Chief Hubert here, so we'll move on to item number 7C, which is the OCSD operations. I do see Tony Maricino. Maricino? Tony, is it Maricino or Maricino?
Just like the cherry, Maricino.
Okay.
Maricino. All right, we just ended our water year, which ends last month, and we started a new water year. Last month, we had 60.21 acre feet from Lopez. We wheeled 2.13 acre feet to Canyon Crest, and we only pumped 0.11 acre feet due to sampling.
Due to sampling?
Sampling. We
okay.
Still, by law, have to sample our wells, regardless if we use them or not. It's a little bit older, had some corrosion. We just basically had to sand it down, recode it. Some minor violations. Got them all corrected. We're good now. Had an NCMA meeting. Basically, a lot of the farmers were there. It was for the farmers, but we were also involved, just informing them on what the NCMA is doing. Had a Zone 3 TAC meeting. We'll discuss that a little bit later. We installed some catch basins at the drains at our yard. That is to get into compliance with that stormwater permit. I'm still working with DPSI on that. That was the last requirement that he asked me to do so we can get off that permit. We had no sewer spills last month. All the state reporting was completed. We're still doing the sewer maintenance program. Just 2 days ago, I found a manhole that was paved over about 4 inches. Took us a few hours to find it. It's on 14th Street. A dead end on 14th. Somebody paved over it.
With concrete or asphalt?
Asphalt.
Okay.
So it took us a few hours to locate it with a camera and a locator and a metal detector. But we found it, uncovered it, so we can continue on with the sewer cleaning.
Great.
That completes my portion. You got any questions?
So you got the last large meter in, huh?
That's correct.
Do we have any readings on it yet?
It's only been about a week and a half.
Well, I know, but we did the one at the trailer park a couple of months ago.
That's correct.
And I'm just wondering if there was a difference in reading that we can show. Right, you may not know.
And And Tony, let me ask you, since we're kind of in a crazy time for water in the state of California, are you having to do a lot more networking with your neighbors and see what they're allocating and what they're using, what sources for what? Do you know of anything that's going on around us like that? Are people changing their use patterns?
It's definitely going to be changing our use patterns. We're going to be pumping more groundwater. Yes.
So you just have the Zone 3 tech is where you guys pretty much network and do your stuff?
Yes.
The field gentlemen,
yes.
Right? Okay, great. I just want to know how that works.
Yes.
Thanks.
Any other questions for Tony? All right. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
We'll move on to board of directors and outside committees. We'll start at the top. Director Angelo?
I don't think I had anything. I think I reported the last meeting. During the last meeting we had.
Okay. Director Blackman?
Yes, I just wanted to let everybody know that there is a Zone 11A meeting coming up next Tuesday from 3 to 5 over at the Sheriff's Station. Also, the OAC, the Oceano Advisory Council, is hoping to put on a candidates forum for a 4th District Supervisor sometime before May 5th. So keep an eye out for that.
There is one next week on the 16th in Napomo High School.
In Napomo High School. Yes. That is good to know. We are hoping to have one in Oceano here.
That'd be great.
Yeah, as well. So that'd be good. Also, the Oceano Advisory Council website went up once we have that date set. So that's all I have.
Thank you. I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting last Wednesday. The only item of discussion in open session was the pending legislative items. Remember, we talked about that at the last meeting. Well, actually, it turns out there's more than a dozen pending water bills. And so Tony Ferrara, Mayor Ferrara from Arroyo Grande, gave us the League of Cities position, and that is that they're in wait and see to see what starts making it through the individual committees before they decide whether or not to back or oppose any of the bills. So I think that's probably good. That's what we decided to do. And I think that's probably a good idea for us as well. And I can get that handout if everybody wants to see it, that the pending legislative bills that are going on. So anyway, that was it. Then we did discuss some of the lawsuits that were pending. And I'm trying to remember if we made an open session announcement or not. If anybody's interested, I'll have to get back. I'll have to go back and check and see if there was an open session announcement or not, based on those particular lawsuits. As you may know, the homeowners around the sanitation plant had sued John Wallace, and so because of the indemnity agreement, the plant was
speak up.
Because of the indemnity agreement, the plant was brought into the lawsuits as well. So, anyway, I'll double check on whether or not that was whether or not there was an announcement made after closed session.
You know, Matt, I wanted to take this opportunity under the sanitation district, and I was wondering why we treat that a little different. If it would be good to have an ongoing standing report from the SAN district, because we have such a large vested interest in the plan itself.
Something different than a committee report?
Well, like a monthly report, you know. Maybe the accountant can put together a monthly report that's in our board packets or something to that effect, you know, because if there's litigation going on, mm-hmm. there's hostility around that litigation. The SAN district traditionally has kind of been overlooked as a freestanding body, but still it's representatives who are elected. And right. We are having a lot of legislation coming down on conservation in here. We have a plant that produces 3.5 to 5 million gallons of water a day, and that legislation is coming, and they're looking right directly at plants such as that. And so I think the more we get word out and take more of an ownership of that plant, I think the better it will be. It's almost like we haven't brought it into the fold.
Probably, I'm thinking out loud, maybe the easiest way to do that would be to attached John Clemens' reports that he does about the operation of the plant, the individual maintenance projects, the plant TSS and BOD numbers that come out. And that does have some of the long-range planning that goes on there as well, in the sense that preventative maintenance and such. And so that would be very easy to do.
Visibly involved in those. And I know you've done a lot with the sand district and stuff, so I just thought try to take it a step higher.
I can easily start bringing those in, and if you need more information, we'll ferret that out and figure out how to handle it.
Yeah, but we are fortunate to have you right here at the table, you know, for anything, questions and stuff, so thanks.
It's your turn.
Oh, I haven't done anything.
Okay. Director White?
No, I was teasing. I did the union's negotiations, spent a lot of time on that, and I know I've done a lot of Northern City stuff, so Board of Supervisors had a very good discussion the other day. I was watching the gang crime statistics go, and Oceana was like second to the least amount of crime in the San Luis Obispo County, you know, and I think, gosh, you know, that's not really how some people perceive us, you know. So we have pretty much almost the lowest crime statistics in the area. I was proud of that. So, no, I didn't do any formal advocating. Thanks.
Director White?
Yeah. Five Cities Fire Authority meeting was held last Friday afternoon, and we started the count process for the assessment, property assessment fee. And they're at least halfway done with the count, but we will not know until April 18th at a second special meeting. There was a mix-up on when the ballots definitely had to be in, and 200 ballots come in, which was more than half. Yeah.
I'm glad to see good public participation.
Yeah.
That's great.
Move on to item number 9, the consent agenda. We'll take public comment on any consent agenda items at this point. Ms. Tacker's coming forward. Good evening, Ms. Tacker.
Good evening. Yikes. Julie Tacker, I really just had a minute or so questions on the consent calendar related to the cash disbursements and Fugro. Again, we're spending a lot of money on water. And I'm wondering if, because there's so much question about what they're doing, that maybe when it's Fugro, GEI, WSC, that those invoices are actually attached to the cash disbursements. That way, then we don't have to pull it for questions. We can just know by seeing that that particular invoice with the cash disbursements. And then I couldn't be happier to see the parting check for Mr. Curtis. And I mean, the price is too high, but I'm glad he's gone. You'll notice if after you deliberate on the consent calendar that it's public comment again. So I might just wait right here.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment on the consent calendar this evening? All right. You can wait right there if you'd like. Is there a motion on, is there a motion on the consent calendar? Open to public comment again. Good evening again, Ms. Tacker.
Hi, again. And I want to point that out on your agenda, that now is when I can speak to the items that were before the consent agenda and after the consent agenda. So maybe the consent agenda needs to move so that we can work more efficiently. Quickly on the operations, you guys were talking about the change out of the big meters. When you're talking about private property, let's be very careful not to talk numbers. It's generalities is fine. Private property is proprietary, and we don't want to identify how much people are using. When we talk about the state park and their meter, talk about it all day long, all the way down to the CCFs, because that's public and public information. Director Blackburn mentioned the website for OAC. That's great. And I hope that the district can link to that website, link to the South Sand website, link to the Zone 3 slowcountywater.org website, the Five Cities Fire Authority. These are all things you do. That information should all be in one place for the public to find out what's going on in Oceano. This is the time that we're going to talk about the action item, the business item, and the drought. So, and unless you want to...
When a drought has been declared on a local, county, state, and federal levels, what is required by the declaration? What is the impact locally? Review and take action on policies surrounding the use and request for surplus water from the county of San Luis Obispo in the Zone 3 area. I do note there were some additional documents that were provided. And so I think I'll turn this over to Mary, Lucy, and to start the discussion. Is that okay, Mary?
Yeah, that's fine. I'd actually like to ask Tony to come back up. Tony, would you mind coming up here for a while? And I don't have a problem with adding a public comment after the board discusses the issues. And so when I run afoul or am not right on a number, jump in there for me, bud.
Will do.
Okay, great. So what we have is several things that are going on. We have a drought that's happening on a state level, that the federal level has acknowledged. We have a three-year declared drought from the Board of Supervisors for the San Luis Obispo area. Now, if you just narrow it down a little further, and when a state of emergency is declared, and whatever that particular emergency may be, the guidelines and policies and procedures change. Things change on how business is done. It's not business as usual, but, you know, so I'm wondering if Oceano, going through what we have been through, right, we were supposed to get 750 acre feet of state water. Bite my tongue to be nice on this issue, but the issue of saltwater intrusion in our pipes was a red herring. I've called it from day one. It was a propaganda, and there was a lot of participants in it. And what it did is it locked us up feeling like we had diversified, we had followed the rules so well in diversifying our water source that we could potentially pull back from pumping our 900 acre feet if there truly was a threat of saltwater intrusion. There has never had increases for any of the nutrients in that area since that well was cleaned up and brought above ground. And that was in 06, I think. So that tells me since it never reoccurred and we're in a three-year drought, that even cinches it up that it was not accurate, it was not factual, but it's tied our hands on pumping the 900 acre feet. And what it's done is it's made some of us feel like it's a social responsible thing to do to pull up off that basin, right? And our intent was to, you know, recharge the basin because we had done such a good job on diversifying our water sources. But that was before the state decided they were gonna, you know, take our money and shut it down. And so there we lost that 750 acre feet that we were paying $500,000 a year for. You know, now Lopez is at 51%. Need to pump. We're going to pump. I don't know how surplus is going to be dealt with, but we'll talk about surplus in a minute. And so with missing those two entities, our ground and our state, I think it's put us in a really bad position for future use. our neighbors are not complying and cutting back. The parks are still being watered on schedule, flooded on schedule. You know, the streets are still being watered down. You know, there hasn't been a reduction in usage around us. And still, we don't pump our ground. So I think that Oceano has a strong enough argument to draw up a resolution declaring a state of emergency in the Oceano area for water. Because on paper it says that we have plenty of water, but the reality is that some of our sources are not producing to the contractual agreements. So we've included the resolution for the state of emergency for the state. We've included the 3-year drought for the county. And now we would like the board to consider declaring Oceano a state of emergency on water.
When you said that the
question,
the contractual amounts are not being lived up to, you mean the water is not being delivered in that amount? For example, the state water, is that what you mean?
Right. The way they do it, and it's really unfair, is that they'll give the numbers for, and the state says, well, we don't care. Send your check. And we legally can't afford to fight it. I mean, it's broke towns. You know, it's always failed in the court systems. And Jeff, if you'd like to speak to that.
I think Karen had a question too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just have a basic, simple question. Proclamation of a state of emergency, what does that get us? What do we gain?
Well, when there's a state of emergency declared, then the federal government has to be notified, and the federal government has declared California to be in a state of emergency drought, right? At that point, a lot of things happen, but triggers basically are what they are. And so there'll be funding on a federal level allocated for hard-hit drought areas. And what it does is it starts the paper trail. So when we put in our application to the state for the county master water plan, Oceano will be in there as an area that had declared a state of emergency on water shortage. You know, it documents that we have this need. So when and if those, I should say if and when those funds come down to us from a federal level to a state level, we're on the record. We're on the record of showing that we've been hit hard in this small little town, you know, and we're doing our best to stay afloat, but, you know, and there'll be a clear paper trail that we've had these difficulties. And so that puts us in line for that type of funding. That's just one thing, you know.
Okay. Because
that we have, you know, the reality is no, we don't have to really out and out conserve, but that would just be so wrong not to, right?
Well, yeah.
But just the $500,000 that we're paying for water that we don't get one drop from.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the emergency.
That's the emergency.
Yeah.
The other emergency is that, you know, we have been led to believe that there's a saltwater intrusion and that it would be the best thing for Oceano not to pump that groundwater, which is the most reasonable water out of all of our sources, right? And we're pumping. But the basin is running low.
Yeah.
The basin's going to get hurt. You know, and it's only 900 acre feet. So that in itself is somewhat of an emergency. You know, I wish our neighbors felt the same, you know, but and other people who live off the basin, not just our neighbors. So that's what the emergency would be, that it's fiscally killing us and we're still not getting an extra drop of water.
No, and we need about 1,200 acre feet. How much do we use a year?
A little less than 900.
Okay. That's everything?
That is our water production for last year. For 2013 was just below 900 acre feet.
So we'd be cutting it. We're going to be cutting it short because we don't have much Lopez and we don't have the state water and we, yeah. Okay.
Director Lucy, I'll just chime in here a second. That I think it was 2009, I drafted a water conservation plan for Heritage Ranch, a CSD. It's similar in a lot of ways, a resolution declaring a drought or not, but certainly the declaration of a drought, I think, probably politically does have some impact, as Director Lucy was saying, as far as indicating an error of emergency and documenting the concern ahead of time, but also in the fact that it does alert people to the concern for conservation, if that's what the board intends to do, is I think that's certainly effective.
Do you have anything you want to add, Lori, or?
I don't know if I want to say what I feel. We have our surrounding cities that are pumping more than their allocation. And I think that's also drawing down on the basin. And if we sit back and don't do anything or say anything as far as our own allocation, I think we should take what we can, because otherwise we're going to end up with nothing. And, you know, I think that needs to be looked into. I think we need to direct a letter to the other participants and say, hey, guys, you're overdrafting.
Or you're drawing our supply and we're going to send you a bill.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's my feeling on it.
That also is part of an emergency,
mm-hmm.
because
they're drawing down more.
If we don't act, we can't say to them, "Hey,
correct.
You know, we're doing everything we can." And part of what we're doing is telling you to only use your share.
Tony, correct. Do you know? Have we seen any numbers that Grover, Arroyo Grande, or Napomo, or
This is the annual report. Another thing, well, let me just stick to this first, but
it's kind of difficult to see since it's in black and white.
Yeah,
it
is.
It shows what they're pumping.
Right.
The only ones that have them in color are the guys that are producing them.
Yeah, they are, because one's gray, one's light gray, you know, and they kind of run together. So, but I think the point being is that our neighbors could pull back as well if they had done what Oceano and the city of San Luis Obispo has done, which is diversify every source possible. And yes, it's going to be expensive, but if you want to continue surviving, you need to diversify your water sources. And, you know, and everybody will admit, you know, when you think of Oceano, you think, oh, you know, just a little dust bowl. But the reality is that we're one of the leading small communities in the state of California who did just that, you know. And so we were able to pull back to help the basin to get healthier. But that kindness was taken for weakness. Mm-hmm. And now it's hitting us in the pocketbook hard. I mean, it always has, but it's not getting anything out of it, really is. So it's bad enough the state's doing it to us, but, you know, it's really affecting. And between the basin and the state, I figure we're
1,750 last year, 1,800 roughly. But it has a breakdown of Lopez and groundwater, but I can't tell from this what was from each, because this document shows that they have 1,198 acre feet of groundwater.
They do. That's their allocation.
1,198
acre feet.
But I don't see. I can't tell from this graph what the breakdown is. If they're over pumping,
I can't.
Or pumping beyond their.
Yeah, you can. You have to look at the.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have my glasses too. Okay, this is like a Red Grandy's down here.
Here, yep. Speak up, Lori, into your mic for me, please.
Red Grandy's down on the right-hand corner. And if you look at the allocation over here on the sides,
mm-hmm.
and you look at the month or the year, 2013, they are between just about, I'd say, 1,300. Is that right? I can't see the print. No, that's 3,000. So they're probably about 2,800 acre-feet, where their allocation is only, did I tell you, 11?
Right, but that also includes Lopez water. They have two sources listed there. And it's hard to tell where each source is coming from and how much of each source is coming
from. Yeah, that's the problem, too. I'm looking just over
here. Right.
Yeah, you can't just...
Julie, did you want to add something here to the just to these numbers?
You need the table, not the graph.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll tell you exactly what ACP is talking about, and then not overwater.
Yeah, I have it right here for the groundwater.
I just have this one.
Yeah, I'm not.
In the I after the annual report, right? And it's not going to say that people are over pumping, you know. I mean, like if you look at Oceano, it says our allocation for Lopez Lake is 303 acre feet. We do pump that. We use that. It says our state allocation is 750, but it doesn't say we don't pump that, you know. And then our groundwater allotment is 900, and it doesn't say we don't pump that. And then we have temporary purchases, which is the multi-year purchase, which isn't in there, and other supplies. So it comes out to be about 1,950 acre feet allocation. Was that about right, Tony?
Yes.
There's a lot of contributions to the basin, and one is that there's no water in California. That's just simple as that. You know, there's no water in California. The farmers, you know, there's no legislation that really monitors what goes on. Some are very cooperative. Some, you know, don't want you anywhere near their properties. Some have 30 wells. Some have 2 wells, you know. It really is based on a gentleman's handshake, you know, and you just have to take it for face value. But the point is I don't think it's one entity that's hurting the basin. It's a magnitude of many, many things that are hurting the basin. You know, and if we're not going to pump, then we need to declare some kind of emergency, water shortage emergency.
I'm trying to figure out, given the governor's proclamation of a state of emergency, what that means that our rights and obligations are underneath, under a proclamation of a state of emergency.
What's the fallout?
No, what does it mean? Do we have any obligations, and does it bestow upon us any other additional rights?
Yeah, Tony spoke to that. It does throw us in a D4 category, correct, Tony?
No. What they're asking for is a 20% reduction overall, individually. 2014 is projected to be the driest year on record. So my concern would be not this year, it'd be next year, where we're going to have a lot of problems. Because currently, we got the 244 acre feet, which is the flood control district water that you guys purchased. It's a multi-year.
Yeah,
and then we have the 303 from Lopez. And then we're going to have to make up the difference with our groundwater. Mm-hmm. Now, there's going to be surplus available. And I need to understand where you guys are at on surplus. I believe there should not be surplus in a time of a drought, state of emergency. Just the word surplus does not go together with a drought in my mind. So I have a form I got to fill out by the 18th of this month. So it can go to the Zone 3 TAC meeting. It's going to get presented to the Board of Supervisors. All the cities are going to automatically. It's the following year that I'm really going to be concerned with if we're going to have a fourth year as a drought.
So I feel like there are a few issues for us. There's the Lopez surplus and what we should do with that, and what opinion we should make on that. And then there's also OCSD and whether or not we should declare emergency or drought or something like that. And then there's another as to whether or not we should approach our sister agencies. So I don't know if we can do one of those at a time, handle one of those at a time, and how to move forward just for tonight's meeting. But
what about, would you consider a water shortage declaration, not an emergency, a declaration?
What if we do that, what does that mean? What happens? Is there an effect to that?
There is an effect to it. There are different guidelines, policies, and procedures that you have to produce, but it probably will release us from the reduction of 20% that's mandated by the state. I mean, it might not. But doing nothing, we know what happens by not doing anything. Yeah. I mean, we had the opportunity to go in 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, declaring a water shortage, and we kind of fumbled the ball or whatever, but it didn't happen at this table, you know. And so I'm bringing it back, saying
shortage contingency plans immediately in order to avoid and forestall outright restrictions that could become necessary later in the drought season. Local water agencies should also update their legally required urban and agricultural water management plans, which I know that aren't required of us, which help plan for extended drought conditions. So I realize that we don't have an urban management plan, but we could do a drought shortage or a shortage declaration, and in the policies or the rules and regulations, policies and procedures document that we made a copy of, we do have the power of restriction of water use, which says, upon published in a newspaper circulated within the district, the general manager shall have the right to restrict the use of water in the area served or in any portion thereof for sprinkling, wetting, irrigation, restricting such amounts as may be deemed advisable. In the event of any violation of any such restriction, the water service to such violator shall, at the discretion of the general manager, be shut off. Such water service shall not be restored until such a time as it is deemed appropriate by the general manager. So we could do a shortage declaration and ask people not to water their yards, or we could require that they not water their yards.
Well,
the
easiest way to get people to use less water is to raise the rates.
And
I don't know.
And I don't mean to interrupt President Guerrero, but it's been a number of years since I drafted that resolution and reduction plan for Heritage Ranch, but it's very common to do those types of agreements where it stays and you can't wash your car in the driveway. I mean, you can implement all these things, and I think one thing about it is that it puts the constituents of the district on notice that these things are coming, so it doesn't come as a surprise, but it also allows the board to lay out a plan, an action plan of how they intend to proceed on the reduction, anticipating the worst and then backing off if necessary. That's what happened in Heritage Ranch. It was a huge rainy season in 2010, and these things never happened, but it was a plan in place. And that's certainly something that I could adopt very easily for the district without much effort.
But that's conservation plan.
Conservation plan.
Yeah.
Right. This is about declaring the district at risk for a water shortage.
And they're not mutually exclusive. Yeah. You could have both.
Right.
Yeah.
So we can implement yours, but we have to take an action or not.
Yeah.
That's what we're requesting, that there be an action taken.
Declaring a disaster.
Right. In order to implement a
water shortage,
right?
Whether it's a declaration or a proclamation, you know. But I do think that this time, you can't think that Oceano should pass up and not take a stand.
Just that you're aware of Lopez Reservoir, the storage prediction, and in October of this year, it's going to be at 21,781 acre feet. Once they hit the mark of 20,000 acre feet.
No.
Or 27,000 is 51%.
27,000, I believe, is 56%.
56, okay.
But that was about a week and a half ago when I got that information, so I very possibly could be at 54% right now.
$20,000 is the minimum pool, and that stops releasing water for downstream farming, releasing water for downstream environmental issues. That's the real stopping point. And that's going to be reached before the rainy season, or right. could be reached before the rainy season. No, I think we have a definite disaster because we are the ones they look to on the issue of pumping, and we start pumping, and God forbid there is salt water, we're going to get blamed. And I don't want to be blamed for something if I haven't recognized that we have a potential disaster or a potential hazard or a potential something.
Historically, we have not pumped, though. Just
yeah, I know.
But you're aware of it.
Well, if we could get the other cities to not pump as
They're
much.
They're not going to do it.
I know.
Well, they have
Grover
to.
Grover Beach only
that's
has two
problem.
Sources of water.
Yeah, they have
and
to
that's
pump.
The problem, so we have to take the hit.
The Grover Beach has two sources of water, Lopez and Ground, period.
Question. What would we tell our water users to do when we ask them to cut 20%, not washing their cars in the driveway?
At home, but the reality is that policy is driving this drought. Mm-hmm. And the residents of Oceano aren't going to change the policy. And if this board takes a position and puts their, you know, big girl pants on and goes fights the fight, you know, at least we'll know we tried. To not do anything is just not, it's not me.
Well, I think there's a larger policy discussion that can't be solved in the next year, that's for sure, but that's, you know, part of it is recycling water. You know, when we do the redevelopment, put in the purple pipe that goes up and down the street, and we put in the water mains, and, you know, people can use recycled water and farmers can use recycled water. And
yeah, but we're looking several.
I know, but that's...
We have a
that's $50 million, $50 million down the road in a bunch of years, but, you know, it's something that we're going to have to keep in mind. I think, you know, I think also, and I don't know that OCSD has the power to do it, but I think what you're going to see eventually is gray water systems being built into houses. And so as part of the building codes.
I think way before that, we need to put a secondary treatment plant and save 3 million gallons a day.
Well,
it's a lot
recycling.
Cheaper. It's a lot going to be a lot cheaper than anything else that would have been done.
You take recycle, that's 35 to 40 million bucks to have a recycled water, and then you have to deliver it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I'm talking about the purple pipe. That's the purple pipe that I would propose when we redo all of our infrastructure, goes down the street with it, and everybody's got a spigot or so, however you want to deliver it at their, so that...
Yeah, you put a lot of recycled water that's got soap in it on adobe clay, and you get slime. I purposely don't have... I have my own water well. I know what water costs.
So how should I do this? Should I make a motion? Do people want to... Do they agree on an action? Do they not agree, want to have, take action?
I think we all recognize the plight. I think we all recognize the plight of the need for water and the dwindling resources. I'm just trying to figure out, I'm not clear in my own mind, you know, if we declare a state of emergency or drought, what are our obligations under that? What do we do? Is it symbolic, or does it create some affirmative duty for us? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Well, I think attachment to the state's proclamation, it just says it is hereby ordered that, and it says local urban water suppliers and municipalities are called upon to implement their local water shortage continuation plan. So do we need a water shortage continuation plan? Can we declare that we have a water shortage continuation plan?
I don't know if we have one.
Well, I'm sure we don't.
Well, that really hasn't been a top priority of the district for a water shortage implementation plan because all the efforts have gone into a diversifying plan. You know, so of course we would fall into the guidelines. You know, I understand your hesitation to create more work if you have to, but I don't think there is more paperwork. I think you mainly go on the record, and so when FEMA steps in, you know, when the feds step in, I know that there's just been like $200 million released from the state for conservation. When those things step in, we will be on that list, along with the county of San Luis Obispo, you know, who was the 13th county to declare a state of emergency. So I don't see it any other way. I really don't. And I don't see the harm on spelling out how this drought is hurting us here. You know, and it's kind of like foot dragging.
Director Lucy, maybe I'm sorry, Director Blackburn, was I interrupting you?
No, it's okay.
I think maybe one potential way to I understand from what I understand you're saying is you want to take at least steps forward now, and maybe one potential way to do that is to you know, without any formal resolution, make a declaration that there is at least a pending threat of an emergency, and direct legal counsel to come forth with some sort of a formal conservation plan that is based on some legitimate guidelines for board implementation. To simultaneously allow the board to take formal action that is documented of the concern, and then also sending a message to the constituents of the district that things have to change to avoid the potential emergency, whether or not no one really knows whether or not you're there now or it's 2 weeks or 3 months from now, but it's just a thought on a potential action you could do tonight.
I'm in favor of, you know, sending the message that, you know, we're short, we need to conserve.
Talk on the mic, please.
We're short of water, we need to conserve, we need to, you know, be good stewards of our resources. I'm definitely in favor of that. I just don't understand, because I'm green. And so I'm not fully aware of what the ramifications are of each particular step. It's not a hang up to do something. It's just understanding what I'm doing. That's my concern.
Well, I understand that. And when I brought this to the board 2 months ago, and nothing happened and nothing moved forward, I was somewhat frustrated. But so here we are again, going at it again, and the potential is not going to help us, you know, and not doing anything is not going to help us either. The fear of the negative is not going to help us. The concern that you don't know what it means, I guess, the right. State of emergency. You have two of them in front of you. You have the county of San Luis Obispo, and you have the state of California.
I do think we're included in the county of San Luis Obispo one.
Yeah,
it says proclaim a local emergency in the entire county of San Luis Obispo. We could possibly support the county's ruling in some way.
Yeah, that's a flimsy way of doing something.
Was this adopted?
Yeah. Does the county have any guidelines on what you should and
yes.
shouldn't be doing along with that?
Yes. And we have the guidelines in front of us. Here's part of them.
Yeah. The state has it.
I have a question of Mr. Minnery, if that's okay. I'm wondering, can we make a declaration like this without any wording in front of us?
Well, I'm sorry, without any what?
Wording in front of us of what the declaration would be.
Well, what we could do is we could write up a proclamation, we could write up a declaration, we could write up a state of emergency, and then we could wait another month and bring it back to the board, and then we could fumble through the papers and stuff like that and wordsmith for a while, and then maybe, you know, maybe by December we'd do something.
Well, I think you have the ability as a board to vote and make a declaration of that in support of you can in support of this. In a sense, it's seems to me to be a more of a statement of intent
right.
and purpose, and I think that's is about as much as this is as well. This is the county's version
is
more
is.
Formal. So as a board, you can certainly do that tonight and say,
like
you know, and that's
our bank accounts
and that's why I suggested to try tie it to action where you'd say we have a threat of pending emergency.
Get rid of the word pending.
I shouldn't. Okay.
We have an emergency.
It's hard. Yes.
When we're losing 1,600 acre-feet a year, that's an emergency. I'm sorry.
You can do that, and I think that I suppose what I'm trying to do, though, is tie in to what Director Lucy is saying and have her concern is that it's one thing to declare an emergency, but then it may make sense for the board to consider then adopting bring back a conservation plan at the same time. We have an emergency, bring the board a conservation plan that the public can understand as far as ramifications.
So what, as far as ramifications?
As far as ramifications to their own water use.
How about declare the emergency tonight? Take whatever action that we legally can take tonight without all the documents in front of us. And then order you to come back in 2 weeks with a second piece of paper that tells our consumers what they need to do to help us.
I think that is a fine course of action. That's what the board wants to do.
I'm just wondering if we could take this resolution from the Board of Supervisors and strike out San Luis Obispo County and just put in Oceano.
But theirs is for 3 years. Ours is not 3 years.
And the thing is that you can, I can, you know, track along what the county did, and you can, in addition to adopting some sort of, or considering some sort of conservation plan, you can do a formal declaration as well. And that's probably a good idea, you know, because then it's just not on some tape on the
No, I agree.
But so maybe that is a great action plan and would still give the board the feeling of movement that I sense Director Lucy is trying to get something going so it doesn't wallow. And all that would make sense and is fine.
Yeah, I think that's fine if we went on the record tonight declaring it and bring back the verbiage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything punitive that's going to happen. And I'm just sensing from the board this punitive attitude. And I just see it as not being a very proactive move. I don't see it as trying to get ahead of the curve or at least keep up with the pack, you know, by dragging our feet. I just don't see the value in it. And I don't see declaring a risky area, an area, I don't see it as a punitive move. I just, you know, it's not like, you know, the tanks are going to come rolling down the street and they're going to freeze our assets. You know, I mean, it's not a riot. It's a water shortage declaration.
How would you word it, Mary?
I move that Oceana declare a water shortage declaration in the form of a proclamation spelling out current trends due to current trends and future outcomes. Something like that.
Second.
Well, we have a motion and a second then.
Take public comment.
One big vote. All right.
Julie, did you have something you wanted to offer? Thanks, Tony.
The one thing I do need from the board is on the surplus water, what?
We're going to come back to that right
okay.
after this.
Thank you.
I have some ideas how to help you. The fact is, your crisis is more money than water. And as you conserve, the money goes away further. And so First, looking at the potential grant money that's available, Karen White presented a letter a few weeks ago looking at three lists that we should make. Great idea. Let's get those lists. It prioritizes your infrastructure and what might be grant eligible, so you're ready to apply. Then your partners are probably morally, ethically pointing fingers at you. Mm-hmm. You should not pump. Mm-hmm. Then pay us not to pump, because we are in a financial crisis. And the way to do that is to put them on notice, mm-hmm, that you want out of the agreement.
That's just what I was going to say, too.
And you have time during the notice to negotiate something to either stay in or you'd get out. But it might be that they pay you not to pump. It might be that they just pick up your share of your contribution to that organization, because you guys are in a critical financial crisis. For the ratepayers at home, declaring a drought emergency, there's lots of boilerplate for how that works and the stages, but you have to have triggers, and then you have to be able to enforce. And then what that enforcement, how are you going to fund it? Because, you know, these guys are working in the field all day. If they see a sprinkler running, that's taking time away to go red tag a door or something. And then what do you do if you've tagged someone over and over and over? Where's the penalty that comes with a financial pop like Cambria's doing? You know, the more you use, the more you get, you have to pay. So, you know, those are punitive on the water user. But those are things that could be implemented here. You guys are way behind. You don't have your state water allocation. You're relying on Lopez. You are going to have to pump. I would like to see the district monitor itself on that Century Well, so that you have a confidence level from your own testing that seawater intrusion is or is not happening, and not leave it up to the partners or to the GEI, WSC, Food Grow folks. I'm available for questions. I hope I can help further.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comments? All right, seeing none. We do have a motion that's pending, and just for clarification, the motion would be then, is it to direct staff or legal counsel to draft this?
Well, it's towards the board, yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out who's going to put the pen to the paper.
We'd have legal staff do it. Okay. What do you want, a form of resolution, declaration?
Probably a declaration would be my thing, yeah.
You think declaration is better than a resolution?
Okay.
I think it doesn't really matter.
All right, Marie?
What?
We're taking a roll call vote. We got a motion.
I'm not clear what the motion is, whether it's a declaration.
Declare a water shortage for the near future, or declare a water shortage declaration.
For Oceana.
For Oceana.
Okay. Can we stop there and just...
Period.
Yeah. And not put any fringes on it?
Ms. Angel seconded it.
And Mary made the motion and Lori did
Lori
the second?
Seconded.
And yes. Okay, so...
You were sleeping.
No,
you were.
I got wrapped
you
up
were
in...
Someplace
I
else.
Got
you
wrapped up in all the discussion.
Well, I was confused.
Yeah. Vice President Lucy.
Yes.
Director Angelo.
Yes.
Director Blackburn.
Yes.
Director White.
Yes.
President Guerrero.
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. So we'll add that drafted up, bring it back at our next regularly scheduled meeting, which is April 23rd.
Okay, great. Right, thank you very much. Now, Tony, again. Surplus. There's been a lot of discussion regarding the use of surplus in the middle of a declared state, local, and very local drought. And so typically, the Department of Public Works will do an accounting of what the surplus, how much surplus is available, and what a percentage of what each city gets. And Oceano's, I'm going to turn this over to Tony in a minute. And so they do a spreadsheet on who, how much water do you want of the extra water, and then usually Public Works just augments your contracts, right? This year we're asking for a little bit of change in the C. Go for it.
So there's going to be surplus water. What I need to know from the board is I have to do a report for the zone recap. They're going to present it from all the cities that receive surplus. City of Rio Grande, Grover, Pismo, CSA 12, us, justifying why we need it, why we want it, or if we do not want it. But I still have to do this report. I need to know how the board feels on surplus in the time of the drought.
So the big question to the board is, in the middle of a state of emergency on water, do you think that we should have a surplus lottery? I mean, do you think that people should be, do you think the Board of Supervisors should release surplus water when we've declared a drought? I mean,
how much does it cost?
How much does an
acre foot of surplus water cost?
$48 an acre foot. That was the last thing I read.
And there's 244?
No.
How many?
No.
It's in a draft.
Like 154 form. Acre feet or something.
154?
I can give you a ballpark because it was in a draft form. You're looking at 148 acre feet.
Okay.
We get 6.69% of whatever surplus is available.
Oh, so we're only talking 10 acre feet?
No. You want the total amount?
Oh, the 140.
That would be our portion
acre.
At 6.69%
of the
available.
I understand.
Surplus.
So I think it's two-pronged. One, do we think that it's appropriate to be releasing surplus in the middle of a drought? And two, do we even want to step into that for 154 acre feet? I mean, it kind of sounds like talking out both sides of your mouth.
And you got surplus water and you're in a drought?
Yeah, right. I mean, that I don't want to sit in that chair.
It doesn't make sense to say surplus water because there is no surplus water.
There is no surplus when you're in a drought.
Is that from San Luis Dam?
Yes, the county
coming
from
San Luis
Lopez Reservoir.
It's been water that's been banked or something?
Yes.
Surplus, what surplus water is the allocation of Lopez water from the previous year. We have it. All these cities receive it. Whatever Lopez delivery we do not use in 2013 becomes a surplus for 2014. And then it goes back into the pool and it's distributed amongst the same cities depending on the allocation, the original allocation, which we've always received 6.69%.
So
that's why we have 303 acre feet per year from Lopez. That's 6.69% of Lopez delivery to these cities.
So what the cities are supposed to do is they're supposed to give their legal arguments or arguments as to why they should be allocated surplus water. And what some of us are thinking is surplus water should not even be up on the table because we have no idea what we're going to be drinking in mid-2015. Surplus could be our drinking water. I mean,
if we leave it there, is it still there in the future?
No. Oh, yeah.
If it stays
it depends
into
on, yeah, it
Lopez
could,
Reservoir,
yeah.
If we do not receive it and the Board of Supervisors say, no, you're not receiving it, it goes back into Lopez Reservoir, that's what you're asking?
No.
Yes.
Well, maybe it is. Maybe I was inarticulate.
It's more of a political thing, Matt, is that the Board of Supervisors had declared a state of emergency drought, right? And now, instead of the request for surplus water going to the Department of Public Works, it's now going to go before the Board of Supervisors. So they have to stand on their word. Are we really in a drought, or are we in a drought and just not really in a drought and we're going to give everybody extra water? The surplus is extra water. You don't have extra water when you have an emergency. So that's the question. Are we in favor of working both sides of the coin? Are we in favor of being in a state of emergency, which we really don't have a choice?
Right.
But we do have a choice on whether we drink our future or not, whether we just willy-nilly, you know, give away what could very well be what we are using in 18 months. That's my opinion. I don't think Oceano should be in favor of releasing anything surplus. As long as there's a drought, not a darn drop moves, except for what's allocated. When it starts to rain again and the precipitation rates come up, great. You know, surplus away, but not at this political point, I don't think so.
How much of that water will evaporate in 18 months?
They discussed that. I do not have.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
I don't have that in front of me. But they did discuss that. It's very minimal.
Yeah.
Really is.
Or how much will they be forced to release for environmental and farmers?
As you can see, they're predicting in October they're going to be at 21,781 acre feet, which is just above the low-level release plan.
Yeah.
And it's HCP, right, Lori? HCP?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They get 3 million. What is it? 3 million gallons for release? The planned
HCP.
Scheduled releases off of Lopez? Those will change as well.
Yeah.
Those will change at 20,000 acre
feet. Yeah, those will change at 20. I think they're about 3 million
gallons a day
releases.
Yeah. And it depends on the weather.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think the board needs to decide, take a position on whether they believe in surplus in the drought or, go away, give away everything, you know, surplus away and
I'd like to save it. I'd like to save it and if we've got any kind of guarantee that it's going to be there in 18 months.
Right. And you're just articulating what I was thinking. If I don't buy it now, can I buy it later? I mean, is it still going to be on the shelf?
That's an answer I can find out for you. I do not know at this time.
Because if it's still going to be there, I'd rather leave it in the bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it's not going to be there, then I want to grab it now and save what I got underneath my feet.
I'll find out that information.
That's my thought.
In the next meeting.
Do you know, Mary?
I don't.
Supposedly, it's supposed to be there.
Yeah.
But is there a possibility of the Board of Supervisors or some other entity saying, well, you didn't use it. This other entity needs it. Yeah. You know, we're going to give it to them instead.
That's my concern.
Same price or whatever the price is. It doesn't matter if it's not available to us. I don't know the answer to that.
I'll ask that same question, but just logically thinking, I believe it wouldn't be there because we're going to hit that 20,000 acre feet in 2015.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, we'll be hit it before.
Definitely.
2014.
I don't see any rain coming in.
November 1st.
Which means, but if we
Halloween.
But it's kind of the same argument, right? If we don't use our Lopez allocation, somebody else is going to. We're going to hit 20,000 acre feet in the lake and not have that either.
So are you talking about if the Board of Supervisors, it sounded like if the Board of Supervisors approves the use of surplus, then we'll all get our allocations. But are you talking about down the road in years to come?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe next year after that. I'm not sure the answer to that.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of room to hold it.
Yeah.
Put it in Lopez.
Yeah.
Well, how do we, well, then we have to deliver it, right?
Director Guerrero and board, one possible thing we might be worth looking at is if the board can exercise their right to take the water and then to take claim to the water. And then leave it and determine later at a later point when to take it,
right,
on an as needed basis.
When
and then if
you
decide to decline it, that may be one potential way to do it. I don't know.
Well, the board's going to have to do something tonight because Tony's in the middle of writing a report, and I'll review it for him. But we have to give him a position whether we even believe in surplus and. In the middle of a drought, and And why are we worthy of 154 acre feet?
Well, I think we...
Because it's going to be, you know, it's going to be like an auction block, you know. Everybody's going to be there. Everybody's going to have a more important, you know, boo-hoo story than the next, right? And people who are up for re-election are going to have to stand next to their emergency drought, and they're going to have to say, well, and there's some surplus over here, so here, take this. No, you don't have a surplus when you have a drought.
I'd like to grab the water, but I'd also like to sit on it. So, I guess it's...
If we're in favor of it, we do have it for the water year 2014, 2015. That would end March.
So our options are what? Do nothing, buy the water, take it now, buy the water, take it later.
You have to justify that you're worthy of the water.
We got to justify why we want it and why we need it, and then it's going to get presented to the Board of Supervisors.
When is that report due? When do you have to turn that in?
The 18th.
Next Friday.
And it's not going to be an easy report either.
No. Director White, you were asking before about evaporation. From 92 to, or from 87 to 92, the range of evaporation was 1,800 to 3,000 acre feet of evaporation.
Out of
not
how much?
Too bad. Out of how much? Yeah. Total storage, out of just under 18,000 to 43,000.
That's about 20%?
No. It's not that high.
No, it's
like 3,000 of
18,000.
It's not that high.
It's minute. You know, the leaks in the pipes is a bigger issue, you know, than evaporation, you know, loss of water, you know, compared to, you know, what you order and what you get is much higher than evaporation.
I think you're pretty close to it. It looks like it's about 16% for one of those years.
It's what?
About 16%.
For dehydration?
Yeah, for the evaporation.
Per year?
Mm-mm. I'm just going off of table 2 on page 2.
Yeah. Let's find that out, Tony, because that seems awful high in my book.
I don't believe it's that high.
And also, too, as it fluctuates, whether it's August or whether it's January, how quickly things evaporate and stuff. But I was always been told that leaky pipes is really the biggest villain to lost water.
Yeah. The only reason I could see for us to take the surplus water is every drop of water we get from somewhere else is a drop we don't have to pump from the basin, even if our neighbors are taking 101% of their share.
That's correct.
And that would be my explanation if I decided to take the surplus water.
Yeah, I would say that my argument for taking it, which conscientiously I don't feel is the right place, that it would be the loss of 1,600 acre feet per year. The fact that we're only one of out of three state purveyors that aren't getting any of their allocations, zero.
There's pros and cons to taking it and not taking it, being for it or against it.
Yeah.
It's money.
But morally, I think it's wrong to distribute surplus water, and so I'm going to make that a motion that, you know, maybe somebody else can make it, but that the board of OCSD feels that releasing surplus water in a time of drought is not
irresponsible.
It's irresponsible. I don't want to put irresponsible in there, but it's not. It's not thinking ahead at all.
Poor practices.
Can I ask you a question? I don't know if you just made a motion. So I'll leave.
No, I
can second it, and then you can ask questions.
Wordsmith it.
I seconded it.
Okay. Can you restate the motion?
Well, I don't even remember how I said it because it was so jumbled. That the Board of Oceano Community Services District,
elects not to take surplus water.
Well, I don't know if that.
On the belief that It's irresponsible to not preserve what water we have. No, you go ahead. I'll shut up.
I can't think now. Do something else while I write this out.
You want me to ask you my question? Okay. If we do accept this surplus, will it lower the amount that we pump from the ground?
Absolutely.
And we will still not end up with more than we need, because no matter if we take it or not, we will still have to pump ground, right?
That's correct. Because we're getting 244 acre feet from the flood control district. We're getting 303 from Lopez, which is 547 plus another 147 brings it to 690. Okay. Last year's demand was approximately 900 acre feet. Okay. So you're looking at still pumping 210 acre feet, if I believe my math's right.
Okay. So it seems like we, at least for us, we'll either have to take it from the ground or we take it from the lake.
That's correct. It'll reduce our pumping by however much we receive.
So which is the worst risk for us?
But it'll cost a lot more. Not a lot, but it'll cost more.
I do have a motion. Okay. OCSD believes it would be challenging to release any surplus water at this point in a 3-year emergency drought.
I'm sorry, can you read it one more time?
Oceanic Community Services District Board believes it would be challenging to release any surplus water available at this point in the state emergency drought and the local emergency drought.
So does that mean that we're voting to take the water?
It's saying that we do not think that surplus water should be released at this point in a state of emergency. I say at this point, that way if it changes, then it can go back and be released. We're not opposed to surplus water, but we don't think it's responsible to be releasing surplus at this time.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, Marie.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
No.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
I'll vote no as well. So motion will carry by a vote of 3-2. Move on to the...
I don't think you can. Let's do a break. And I think that has to be a two-thirds vote.
3-2 is
three-fifths.
Yeah.
Does it just do go by majority when it's a motion?
Carries.
I mean, when it's a policy position?
I believe it's just a majority vote. I don't see any difference between this and a regular.
All right, does anybody want to break? It is 8 o'clock. We've been almost 8 o'clock. We've been going for about an hour now. Why don't we adjourn? We'll come back at 8:05 for the business item on the special meeting.
8:10.
It is now.
Go ahead, finish. So why are you...
All right, we'll call this meeting back to order, Oceana Community Services District. It is 8:12 p.m. We're going to start the special meeting portion of this. This is has the one business item to update the labor and equipment fee schedule. We will take public comment on this particular item at this time. If there is any, Ms. Tacker, good evening again.
Good evening, I am Julie Tacker.
Can you speak up?
Yes, thank you, Julie Tacker. I support the need to do this. My criticism is that it's being done on a special meeting and that it's kind of a big rate increase. It doesn't affect a lot of people, but if they knew about it, each year in the future, and what's that based on?
So the kind of question, and then just again, the special meeting, 24-hour notice, we're going to raise these rates 11.8%. That's a biggie.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right. I'll open it up for board discussion. I have received and reviewed this. It does just have a layout of schedules, which could be posted on our website and made available to the public. I think it's appropriate. One of the concerns, I'm speaking with Mr. Maricino, was that we were actually losing money, which is a problem. This is supposed to be just reflective of the actual cost of providing these particular services. Of course, it is a best estimate. I think as I don't have an accountant here, but do you know, Marie, do we have any other items in our course of business that have a yearly inflation increase? Your microphone's off.
I don't know if we actually have anything that I can think of off the top of my head.
Cost of living.
I personally think some of these rates are still too low, especially on equipment. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go to private sector, they would just laugh you across the street for some of these equipment rates.
You might try to compare them to Smith and Son.
Well, one of the reasons that you implement these things to begin with is that at some point you have to replace your equipment.
I'm not sure your microphone's on, Marie.
Well, beat the prices, but I don't think we should be not fully funding our equipment. But as far as your question, Matt, I don't know that we have anything else in the budget that has an annual inflation factor built into it.
Right. I know that other counties will use the, I'm sorry, I'm at a loss for the name of the exact term, CPI, thank you. They'll use the CPI, we'll use the, I think it's out of the LA, Riverside, San Bernardino area, CPI. And so I don't know if we need to build that in or just once a year we could come back and revisit these rates. You know, that's an easy enough thing to do is every April at tax time, come back and look at them.
I think it should be on the list for January 1 review.
Which is fine.
Or maybe in conjunction with the new budget.
Right, something that's easy enough to do.
Well, I'd like to see us either do a percentage and or reviewed. So if it's not reviewed by the board, it automatically increases. Because sometimes things don't get back to the board. So I would hate to see this happen again where we fall years behind on raising increases, where I'd like to build in a percentage, you know.
In 2022, we look at this.
And that way, if a board doesn't get back to it next year, we're not losing anything. It just automatically will kick in.
You know,
the percentage.
We do have that with the was it the frontage foot fees or the connection charges? We have a.
You're right, and those can happen usually on their anniversary date. So right. We have the potential for it to be different three times a year.
And we also have a potential, if we end up with more field crew, having different numbers here.
True.
And so what do other towns do? I'll ask Tony Maricino. I don't know if a USO or a worker, if they spell it out particularly, because we might end up with an issue with somebody developing, go, hey, Tony's $42 an hour and Jason's $32. Send Jason.
Well, but Tony's a supervisor. You can't do that.
Well, I know, but somebody pick and choose and...
For an example, our wages are calculated identical to City of Arroyo Grande. Even though our average wage cost is quite a bit less than their average. Their average is $48.35. That's their average. Now, what we're currently going off of is an 08 standard. And it's 2014. That 11.8% is based on the cost of living from 2009 through 2013. That's where I calculated the 11.8%.
So it's 11.8 over 4 years. you know.
Yes.
But so six. What is the depreciation rate? Is it 3% or 4%?
Well, it depends on the type of apparatus. Yes. Like a truck is 5 years, so it's 20% per year. But a building might be it's over 30 years, so it's 3.3%.
There's different
cost
life cycles.
Of living is 3.5.
Right? It varies year to year, Randy, but they are drastically lower than the city of Pismo Beach. Give you an example, the city of Pismo Beach service truck is $96 an hour.
Mm-hmm. So would you think
city of Arroyo Grande's service truck is going to be $42 an hour?
Well, without torturing it, I just wanted to try to make sure that these are as reflective as they can be of actual cost. And I think one of the things we're able to do, and Jeff will correct me if I'm wrong, is there's administrative costs. And
now, the administrative costs, they're calculated with the employees.
Okay.
Those are not calculated with the vehicles.
The material costs are the actual costs?
That is correct. All I put on there was material costs plus the taxes.
Yeah.
No, because the employees have got medical, dental, vision. You have a direct labor cost per hour, which is an indirect cost rate equals the billing rate, because you still have the admin side of the personnel that's in the field.
Oh, I was just going to say, if we are going to do it based on the inflation, I would like to state where we are getting the inflation rate from. It would be the standard.
Cost of living.
Right.
Right. Maybe what we can do for tonight is approve it, bring it back in January, and readdress the CPI and the actual rates. That way we don't end up visiting this for the next 3 months.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that.
Yeah.
So I'm in support of that.
But sort of a hybrid between Marie and Ms. I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendation to implement the fees as attached.
Second.
All right, Marie?
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
All right, motion carries by a vote of 5-0. Thank you very much. These will take effect immediately. The going back, why don't we, before we go to closed session, we'll do the received written communications and late received communications, being none. We have a future agenda item of the budget. I'm not ready to schedule that yet, but that could be on the agenda at any given point, because I think the Finance Committee.
That's what I was going to say.
We're going to get together again and have a real meeting on that.
Can we at least go back and talk about some goal setting and priorities? Bring in the list and spell out how we're going to try to set some goals.
When do you want to do that?
The next board meeting.
April 23rd?
Great.
Okay, we'll add that to the agenda for goal setting and priorities. As far as producing a staff report or working some sort of paradigm, how do you propose? Do you want to take that up, Mary, or we can talk about it later? Mary's shaking her head no.
No, I can't commit to the time. I can review it, but I think the board needs to discuss on...
Figure out... so that we can be productive, who is going to be in charge of setting up that agenda item?
Well, I think it should come out of finance.
I actually pulled together a list based mm-hmm. on yeah. the lists that I got from yeah. those of you that contributed items one, you know, in right. priority one, two, and three. Could that be the basis for discussion and fine-tuning?
We can start with that. That was the list that came out for the special meeting.
Right, on the Saturday.
March 22nd, I think, was the
yeah.
Right, so.
And certainly there could be subcategories in some of those.
So why don't Ms. Blackburn and I will come in and take a look at that. And
okay.
Set it up, the staff report.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah.
She's agreed. think that's it, except for closed session. We'll take public comment on closed session. We have three items pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, conference with labor negotiators, the agency designated representative, Vice President Mary Lucy, the employee organization is the SEIU, Service Employees International Union 620. Item number B is pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, paren B, paren 1, consider appointment slash employment of a public employee, position general manager slash interim general manager. Item number C, pursuant to Government Code 54956.9, paren B, paren 3, paren C, conference of legal counsel regarding receipt of a claim pursuant at this time.
Thank you, sir, Marie. I'm not an animal.
Fire. Oh, this is a seat.
All right, we're rolling. We'll call this meeting back to order. It's the Oceana Community Services District. It is 9:06 p.m. We've just returned from closed session. At this time, we have no reportable action on any of the three particular items. Oh.
I believe the reportable action on the third item.
Oh, I'm sorry. We do have a reportable action on the third item. That is the Kerry McCall. The board is going to reject the claim for that particular item. Is that correctly reported? Thank you, Mr. Minery. The is there a motion to adjourn?
So move.
All right. Everybody have a good night. All right. Do we all need to say all in favor?
Hi.
Hi.
Good night. It's 9:07. Thanks.